We welcome on board Ross Cameron. Now, Ross is the founder of Solutions Architect, I beg your pardon, at Prometheus Systems. Ross, a very good afternoon to you, and thank you for taking the time to join us on today's show.
Hi, Michael. Sure, not a problem.
Oh, great to have you on board, Ross. So let's set the scene. Let's set the topic of debate. Now, governments around the world are trying to protect children online, but your paper argues that legislation alone is failing. In simple terms, then, why are bans and legal restrictions not working in today's digital world?
Well, long and short of what my argument is that, unfortunately, relying on government to put in filters or to delegate it to social media companies is never really going to work, because what's going to happen is children are within minutes going to find a way to bypass it, as okay. Australia has been finding out within minutes of implementing their ban. I've got friends that live in Australia that their children bypassed the bans on Facebook and TikTok within 5 minutes, literally with a cokey pen and drawing a mustache on their face.
What? Okay, but now, all right, let's try and figure this out. How are they managing to do this? Has there been any findings regarding this?
Yes, well, I've got evidence from a friend of mine who's a parent, and also there's been other parents that have been saying the same thing. What they've been doing with a lot of the social media sites is they've been doing video selfies so that the computer system can get a three-dimensional view of your face. And if you apply appropriate makeup, it views you as being older than what you actually are.
Oh, wow. Is that just one technique, or perhaps is there something else at play?
That's the primary technique that they've been using for doing validations. Others, everyone's done is they would stop using their account that they've had before and re-sign up and claim to be 18, and the system would just let them in straight away.
Okay, but that being said, sorry, Ross, carry on. Sorry.
That being said, part of the problem is they've got no actual way of tying in perhaps the local government institutions to figure out who this person actually is. The social media sites have to rely on the information you're providing them to be able to try and determine what age you actually are, which is why I personally think that delegation of responsibility shouldn't actually be laid with either government or the social media sites. It should be run by the parents who actually own the devices that the children are using.
But then at the same time, I mean, the parents should oversee that, but we don't actually, are we actually seeing a commitment to this, a concrete, shall we say, focus to having to carry this out?
Well, unfortunately not, no, because largely in Australia they have a culture of dependence on external institutions. So if there's a problem with Facebook publishing certain kinds of material, instead of not viewing it, they expect Facebook to filter it out. It's the exact same problem that they've got here. They don't want certain users on social media, instead of finding ways to avoid exposing children to that social media, they would rather have the social media not expose their children. They're still viewing it in a more analog context, the same way that you would view certain content being broadcast on a TV or radio station.
Let's look at this from another perspective, Ross. Look at in terms of blocking the internet itself to locking down the device. Why is the device then the most critical point of control when it comes to child safety online?
Well, the simplest way to bypass a lot of these sorts of blocks is if you look in Middle Eastern countries, for example, with like the Arab Spring, when their governments tried to shut down access to things like Twitter, all that they needed to do was either use a different DNS server so that they could find a way of reaching the servers, or they would use a VPN and they would bypass the censorship. The same thing happens on a daily basis in China when they want to access what we would call the normal internet this side of the world. So if you still have a device that the person that has physical control over it is able to just go and install a VPN or other software, bypassing these sorts of filters is in many ways trivial. So what you
Okay.
need to do is you need to bring control back onto the device itself, lock that down, and prevent the installation of these kinds of bypasses. And then you actually have a shot at trying to filter the content that people have access to.
Ross, sorry, I just want to reflect back on something we discussed earlier on regarding how youngsters are managing the system. So, in fact, somebody's just coming on line right now wanting to know step by step when a child tries to open a blocked social media app on a managed device, what does the technology then do behind the scenes?
Yeah, the long and short of the easiest way of going about it is you use a facility called Secure DNS. Now, what DNS is it's a system that allows a device to locate servers on the internet. When the device, for example, tries to access facebook.com, that domain name needs to be converted into a series of numbers called an IP address. If your DNS server is What happened there? Sorry,
Hello,
I
Ross.
had a
Okay,
we co-op.
that's all right.
Sorry,
We have hiccups live on air. That's fine. No problem.
the IP address is then what the phone or tablet uses to communicate directly with the actual internet servers. If you block it at the domain level where you look up facebook.com and you say, no, you're a child, you're not allowed to have access to that. The device itself will never have access to the IP address and will never actually be able to transfer any data up or down from those servers.
Okay.
And as a result, that entire facility, whether it be through an app or a web browser, is shut off immediately.
Okay. All right. So, at the same time, many parents, if I can just run this by you, believe VPNs are the ultimate loophole. Now, a paper of yours says this solution is actually superior to VPN-based restrictions. Why don't then VPNs solve the problem, and how does your approach stay one step ahead?
Well, the thing is it always starts off with when you're trying to convert these domain names to their IP addresses. Most VPNs will still rely on that DNS lookup to start off with. If you shut things down before the traffic tries to go across the VPN, it will still not work. Even if you switch from one location to another, the VPN server itself will not know where to send the traffic on the other side of the connection. So
Okay.
whilst most VPNs will be vulnerable to being shut down this way, there are a few, but they're very few and far between, that would be a loophole that would bypass a mobile device management system. The main point is the end user won't be able to install this VPN software on their phone if the device is locked down beforehand.
Ross, okay, so we have Instagram, the Instagrams and the TikToks. So which online threats should parents be at the moment most concerned about right now that often get overlooked?
Funnily enough, one of the things that gets overlooked the most is actually not so much what the person's viewing, it's a slightly more insidious thing called a tracker. What makes these social media sites have any actual value is they sit and watch what people are doing and what they're interested in, and they generate analytics based on what you're doing on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and the internet in general through your browser. That profile that they can create, which they don't know your name exactly most of the time, but you are a valuable data point. By having a device that's managed properly, you can actually cut out most of these trackers and you land up having a much more, we call it, pleasant advertising free access to the internet. And they don't actually know who you are anymore
Sure.
most of the time when you're browsing. And
Okay.
because you're removing your value from the system, your privacy is a lot more protected.
Ross, as we conclude our chat this afternoon, if we were to fast forward 5 or 10 years, do you believe device level control will become the global standard for protecting minors online? And what needs to change for that to happen?
I would hope it would become the global standard. I think that whilst it's well-meaning, the Australian approach is going to fail because, again, they're relying on the social media sites who make their money out of having huge quantities of users. It's counterproductive for them to try and cut out a huge number of people from accessing their facilities. I personally think that if we were to take back control of the devices we own and delegate usage of, it would be, one, more practical, and two, it would actually work. And there's actually very little cost involved. The software that's required is actually freely available as open source software. So all it would actually require is either the schools or the government institutions to supply a bit of hardware and some support staff to be able to sit around and actually set up and maintain the infrastructure. There won't actually be monthly or yearly subscriptions that parents need to pay for.
Okay. Ross, we're going to have to leave it there. Thank you so much for joining us on today's show. And from all of us, blessings during this festive season and everything of the best for 2026. Ross Cameron, who is the founder and solutions architect at Prometheus Systems.